Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is Tuesday, February the 27th, 2024, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. You're cordially invited to come and be with us each Sunday morning. Our service starts at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we are in the sanctuary, and we're giving God the glory and all the praise. You're invited to come and be with us at any time, any Sunday at 10 a.m. We want to invite you as well to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist and upcoming events. You'll also find there the Sunday morning service. If you're not able to come to the church on Sunday morning, or if you're out of the area, you can tune in to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, and you can see our Sunday morning service. Also on that Facebook page, you'll find the topic and the scriptures for the Bible study each week. All of our Bible studies are archived. You can always go there and find whatever Bible study that you would like to hear. Click on that link. It will take you directly to that Bible study. Also, the call for the Bible study is there. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-9839. You can call that number, and you can be a part of our Bible study even tonight. So we want to make sure that we stay in touch with you so you can stay in touch with us. We want to make sure that you go to our Facebook page, scroll down, see what's going on at First Baptist. We thank God for all of you who have done so far. Of course, you know that there are different ways that you can give to the house of God. You can come to church on Sunday morning and bring your tithes and offerings, or you can mail them into the page and find the correct mailing address for that. And you can also use Cash App. We do have a Cash App. Starts with the dollar sign, letters FBCHS, FBCHS. You can use that Cash App, and you can give to the house of God tonight. So there are many ways in which you can give to the house of God. We just encourage you to do so as you continue to give God the glory in what you're doing. We want to remind you that Family and Friends Day is coming up on the 10th, March the 10th. And, of course, you are cordially invited to come and be a part of Family and Friends Day. We're going to have a wonderful time. We have a wonderful preacher, Pastor Cobb from Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church, and right there in Holly Springs, going to be with us along with his congregation. And we're just going to have a great time in the Lord on that Sunday. So we invite you to come and be with us for Family and Friends Day on March the 10th, coming up very soon. So please put that on your calendar. A part of that as well. Let us pray for our people who are on our sick list. Father God, we thank you for those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that you will allow your Spirit, God, to touch each and every one of them in a very special way. We ask now, God, that as we go into our lesson, that you will steady our minds and steady our hearts, that we are receptive to your word, that we'll be able to understand what thus saith the word of God. And so, God, we just thank you right now for your blessings upon the house of God. We thank you, God, for each and every person on this line, for their families and for those who are surrounding area. We ask now, God, that you will bless those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. God, we thank you right now for your mercy and for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Okay, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 1 John. We're going to be in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John for the next couple of weeks. Those books of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as we go through our lesson for the next few weeks. We're in 1st John, the 4th chapter. 1st John, the 4th chapter. And that's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to start at verse 18. We're going to go down to verse 21. Then we're going to go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and we'll go from verse 1 through verse 5. So let me say that again. We're going to be going to 1 John, 4th chapter, verses 13 through 21, and then 1 John, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Our lesson tonight is called Abiding in God and His Love. Abiding in God and His Love. These letters of Paul are three brief epistles. These letters are to deal with the infocyte, significant questions about the fundamental nature of Christian spiritual experience. These letters of John also provide fascinating insight to the condition of the church at the end of the first century. You see, heresy played a crucial role, a deceptive role in the church during that time. Autonomy and church organizations were reflected. The genuine nature of a committed and obedient relationship to God through Christ Jesus is strongly and affectionately depicted and commanded. In this first epistle, John describes how love is evidence of our relationship to God. The present assurance is so obvious that even the fear of judgment day is eliminated. In the final chapter, John turns to the interrelationship of love and righteousness. Those who do not find his commandments to be hard or troublesome, the faith of his children of God gives them power to discover victory over the world that would obstruct and keep away all of those commandments. The faith as the Son of God. Again, actual belief enters the picture. Jesus was fully human, and the Spirit bears witness to his reality of Jesus Christ. The result is a greater inner confidence in God. This is given eternal life, and this life is in the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, the line of declaration between the one who has this life and those who do not make this life are crystal clear. You see, all Christians receive the Holy Spirit as living proof of God's presence in their lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power to love and to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and provides assurance that we are connected to our Heavenly Father. Perfect love does not mean that we love perfectly. It is a description of our Savior's love for us. Let me say that again. Perfect love does not mean we love perfectly. It is a description of our Savior's love for us. Jesus loves flawlessly because he accepts us with all of our imperfections, all our mistakes, regardless of our gender, of our sex, of our marital status, regardless of our education, regardless of our economic condition, regardless of our physical and mental and emotional qualities, regardless of our age or our cultural background. God loves us. He loves us. Knowing we are loved by God diminish our apprehension of judgment day and increase our need to see others saved and supplies us freedom to love in the work God has called us to do. The confidence that we receive in acknowledging God's love is not arrogant. Arrogance is when we depend and boast on our own abilities. The confidence that the Bible describes is a declaration of our relationship with Jesus and evidence of our abiding spirit that lives within us. So when we go to that fourth chapter in the 13th verse, at first 13th verse says, hereby know we that who dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. Two things dominates this particular scripture. John's exhortation in verse 13 through 31, faith and love. In verse 13, John affirms that the assurance of the presence of God in our life of a Christian is proved by the residence of the Holy Spirit in him or her. Let me say that again. John affirms that the assurance of the presence of God in the life of a Christian is proved by the residence of the Holy Spirit in him or her. Since love is the first of the fruits produced by the Spirit, John's connection of love with the Holy Spirit is obvious, in addition to the other work of the Spirit in the life of a believer. So this is why John says, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he dwell in us. He has given us of his Spirit, not of our Spirit, but of his Spirit. If his Spirit is of love, then our Spirit must be of love as well. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, has seen God. he has revealed himself visibly to his son, Jesus Christ. As one of the apostle eyewitnesses, John bears testimony to this fact. John here gives testimony to the fact that he has seen him. Testimony means that he has receipts. That means that he knows for a fact. He's not testifying about something that he does not know or does not understand. John here bears testimony of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and God be in God." On the test of doctoral faith in Christ as evidence of God's indwelling. The Greek word here means to confess, indicates that the intellectual acknowledgement of the human divine nature of Christ and the personal acceptance of him. This is what whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God and God dwelleth in him and he in God. He's talking about the emphasis placed on the test of presence of God indwelling in us. Now, again, confessing, I mean, he's telling of his intellectual knowledge, something that he knows, something that he's involved in, something that he can speak firsthand for. And this is why he says he is testifying because of this fact. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Look at verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God, and God in him." John here effectively connects faith and action. Action and behavior. Here, believing and loving are intimately joined. They are proof of God's spirit in the believer. Here, he connects faith and action. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and we that dwelleth in love dwell in God in him." Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in his world, in this world." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." By dwelling in love and consequently in God, and by God dwelling in us, love will be made perfect, complete, or accomplish. This word refers to a completion of a goal of maturity. Love will be made complete, mature, and perfect once and for all. This perfection refers to a complete, fully accomplished state. John is stating that the ongoing action of God dwelling in us and our dwelling in him perfects our love. The phrase, because he is, so are we in the world, refers to God's abiding in us. If we dwell in God and God in us, despite being in this imperfect world, we are like God who is love. Let me say that again. The phrase in this particular scripture where it says, because so are we in this world, it refers to God's abiding in us. If we dwell in God and God dwells in us, despite being in this imperfect world, and you know we live in an imperfect world, we are like God who is love. So this should give us confidence on the day of judgment, which comes from loving as Jesus loved us. It does not mean that we will love perfectly, but that we will have evidence that we are believers and we have confidence that our hearts are right before God. This is exactly what that means. John then goes on. He goes on further to clarify that love is absent of fear. Mature and complete love casts out fear. The word for casteth out literally means to lay aside or throw aside. When you cast out something, it means you throw it away. Christians should not experience fear of punishment in their life. The punishment that John refers to is the judgment, which is clear because it is mentioned in the context of the day of judgment. Because fear has punishment, and the two are inevitably intertwined, fear of punishment does not have the love that we just talked about in verse 16 and verse 17. You see, our connection with the Lord. John seals this point by stating that whosoever fears has not matured in love. Those who fear that they will receive the final judgment have not experienced the complete work of God's love in their lives. And there are many people who are walking around who are afraid of the final judgment. We don't know when the world will come to, and we don't know when we'll be called to be judged before the Lord. But a child of God should not be afraid of that day. It should not be something that we are afraid of, because we have been told that day was coming, number one, and because of the fact that we dwell in God, God dwells in us. And therefore, we have no need to fear come the day of judgment. Verse 19, verse 20. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? Now, we have heard this particular scripture over and over again during our Christian walk. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he have seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? You see, next we see the motivation behind the Christian love. We have experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ. This verse points to the detailed description and explanation of the proceeding. It summarizes that John has said concerning the love of Christ and its effect in the life of a believer. We love first shown love to us. We love one another because we have experienced God's love in our hearts. John says that if believers say they love God and have hated their brother, they are more than walking contradictions. They are liars. This may not mean that they are intentionally lying or deceiving others. At the most basic level, they are deceiving themselves. They are not walking consistent with the truth. Those who do not love someone who is physically visible, someone that you see every day, cannot love God, who is invisible to your natural eyes. For John, the real test, those who are right in front of you, those who are in your face, loving people whom you can see is the litmus of God whom you have not seen. That's a very heavy statement. That means that if we don't love the people that we see, if we don't love the people who we are around, if we don't have love for them, then we cannot say we love God. He goes on to say they're liars. But the more soft term is a contradiction. A person is a contradiction. That's a contradiction without loving the other. And John makes that perfectly clear in this particular scripture. So many Christians running around talking about they love this and they love that person, but yet they have no love for mankind. They have no love for the brother and sister that they see every day. They love God. They love God. How much they love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard my prayer. He attained unto my call. We'll sing the song. I love the Lord. And we'll go through all of that. But yet, we don't have love for one another. Look at verse 21. Go to verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that ye be loveth God, love his brother also. Not only is loving your brother a litmus test for loving God, But not loving your brother is disobedience to God's commandment. Let me say that again. Not only is love a test for loving God, but not loving your brother is disobedience to the Lord's commandment. Appeals to the direct command of Jesus. If we do not love our brother, we are not obeying the command of Jesus. Jesus has given us this commandment, and Christians must fulfill it or risk disobeying the Lord who loves them. Now, when we go to John, the fifth chapter, this chapter passage is a part of John's final elaboration of the three epistles, testing and authenticity. Now, let's go to the fifth chapter and go look at verse 1. Fifth chapter, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. John connects belief spiritually and spiritually. The Greek term for this love means to have complete belief and trust in this particular person or in God. It is more than a mere profession of creed. It means personal faith in God and personal union with Christ. Our proof of the new birth is shown as a continual belief in the humanity and the deity of Christ and his redemptive mission. The logical consequence of this new birth is an expression of the love for God, who is the source of the spiritual birth, as well as for all others. He has given spiritual birth to all of us. Therefore, it says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. Look at verse 2. By this we know that we love God when we love God and keep his commandments. In the preceding verse, John connects belief and love. In he connects it is made between love and obedience, indicating how intertwined the time. John reverses the relationship of stating that our love for one another is made manifest when we love God and keep his commandments. Previously, John declared that we cannot love God if we hate one another. Now John is saying that loving God reveals our love for one another. The two are intimately related so that both should flow from each other. Verse 3. Love of God, that we keep, his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. John takes a step further to link love and obedience. This verse is obviously to echo the precepts of Christ himself. Then you have loved my commandments, or keep my commandments. He that have my commandments and keepeth them, he that is love that loves me is both a basis and motivation for obedience. Obedience in this term, the ideals that have been left behind. For example, some of the regulations of the scribes, heavy burdens upon the heart to hear for Jesus' yoke. But then, moreover, a lot of the burdens that Jesus took, the Pharisees and the Sadducees could not take on. Sadducees were heavily burdened, and those burdens were hard to bear. They could not have bared the yoke that Jesus bared. They could not have walked the walk that Jesus walked. And that was because of Jesus' true love in the Father and keeping his commandments. And the Pharisee, like most people, were having trouble keeping his commandments. But in keeping his commandments, it gives you the boldness. It gives you the motivation to move forward and do as God has called us to do. John directly references the impartation of divine nature and the indwelling of the presence of the Holy Spirit in all those who believe and love the Lord. Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Confidence in the believer's victory is contagious. Within two verses, he uses the words overcome and victory four times. Understand that we can't overcome and that we do have the victory or the conquest, anything that has born of God. But here John focuses on our faith as the victory that has already conquered the world. John uses a present tense term to begin with because there are always obstacles to but in talking of faith, we use a verb that expresses certainty that our faith is complete in this victory. These ways might not be the ways that we would want to go, but John says we should have confidence as we move forward in this faith. The Holy Spirit enables the believers to live in direct victory over the flesh and the world and the devil. In everyday experience, the Christian can continually express thanks to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, 1 John 4 and 4, Romans 8 and 37. The person who is born when he or she does not live like a coward or become dominated or defeated by circumstances. The born-again believer lives confidently by faith and has complete trust in God. From victory to victory, God's promises are never realized by the fearful, but given to those who are overcomers, conquerors, through our faith in Jesus Christ. Beloved, this lesson tonight wants us to understand that there are certain restrictions and certain conditions for being. One of those that John singles in on this particular lesson is the love. Because of the love that God had for us, we must have that same love for one another. Now, let me just briefly speak on Judgment Day, and I'm going to come open the microphone. Judgment. You heard me speak of Judgment Day during the course of this lesson. This judgment refers to the final and ultimate judgment of God. It involves the when he judges the actions of all mankind. This phrase finds its root in the Old Testament concept of the day of the Lord. The Hebrews believed that this would be the day when God would judge the nations and vindicate his people. In the New Testament, it loses its naturalistic tone and refers to God's solemn condemnation of all evil. Christians will inherit eternal life, and unbelievers, the ill-fated choice of eternal damnation. That's what I meant when I used the term Judgment Day those several times when I was speaking of these particular scriptures. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to listen tonight, or you may have some more information that you would like to share with us. There may be some of you who have read further or have read the lesson already. And you would like to share something with us, or you just have something that you would like to add as well. So we're going to go to the lines. Let me find my headphone here. We're going to go to the lines, and I'm going to call the first number. Is area code 919, last four digits 3447. Are you on the line? 3447. Hey, if I have your phone muted.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. How are you? The one thing that I have to do this daily, especially with the news and stuff. Brother doesn't mean necessarily someone who looks like you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother does not mean someone necessarily who's of the same party as you. So I've had this question before with Bishop over at Gospel City. mm-hmm. always having trouble. Now, and it's difficult. How can someone love someone like Donald Trump, but he's mm-hmm. your brother?
Right.
And that's the difficult. That it, being a Christian is not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, you have to you still have to love folks who are tearing you down. How can the slave love the slave owner?
Mm-hmm.
It's I mean, I'm just putting this question out there. But these are the things that I deal with when I think mm-hmm. about how in this society how it's hard to love some folks.
It is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing that I added to that I'm adding to the script. But these are the things that I face. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I don't think I'm the only one.
Right. I don't think you're the only one either. I think that's a it's a very legitimate question. It's a question that's been passed down from generation to generation. How can you love someone who mistreats you? How can you love someone who misuses you? So that's a legitimate question. It makes sense to me. It makes great sense.
I guess you have to have a spiritual Christian maturity that goes and exceeds beyond just the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Oh yeah. It indicates that it comes with spiritual maturity. One must grow into that. It does not happen overnight. You have to grow into that, and just because you dislike what a person is, we still should love them to the point where we don't want any harm come to them or any hurt come to them or anything malicious to happen to them. We may not agree with what they stand for, may not agree with what they do, but we certainly can pray for them, and prayer. Praying for someone shows love as well. So we can do both, but it takes Christian maturity to get to that level. It does. Yeah. Amen. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Deaconess Rain, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. I enjoyed the lesson tonight. Hold on for 1 minute, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to speak on verse 18, talking about no fear in love, but perfect love from God.
Uh-huh.
There
is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we when we get to know God, we have no fear in perishing,
mm-hmm.
and then we have some assurances of the Lord's love for us, and one is that He sent His Son to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one would be we know that He loves us because He dwells within us at this present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one would be because we can look to the future with confidence and without fear because we know, like whenever we leave the earth, this earth, we have a heavenly home if we live God's will for us, the way
mm-hmm.
God wants us to live, keeping His commandments and living a holy life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, and let's see. I think that's it for that verse. I just want to speak on that verse a little bit.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. 2314. Trustee Megan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson. I sure did. Because a couple of things I want to say here, that we are just supposed to love everyone, because see, the mm-hmm. Spirit bears the fruit of love, and the Spirit is the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in this lesson, to me, John was saying that confessing Jesus as the Son of God is like basic Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And not advanced Christianity. So, for example, you know, it does not mean that, you know, whoever signs up for like a softball team hits a home run. It means that whoever signs up for the softball team is on the softball team. Mm-hmm. So in this lesson, to me, abiding in God, being on the team.
Amen.
Whenever we confess Jesus mm-hmm. as the Son of God, we are saved. And then, as you said a while ago, then we grow.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's go to area code 984, last four digits, 1570. 1570. Are you on the line?
I'm here.
Good evening.
My phone been going in and out, so hopefully it'll stay connected. But I was listening to you as you was talking about how when we perfect love cast out all fear, and how we should not fear the final judgment. We should not be walking around fearful of what's to come. And I think I could take that even in our everyday life. We know that the Bible tells us that we're going to have trials, we're going to have things, we're going to have issues and stuff that we're going to face. But yet and still, even knowing that things are going to come upon us, maybe not knowing exactly what's going to happen, but we still can't even live in fear of the unknown or what might happen or what the outcome of a situation might be, because we know that God already told us that we're going to suffer many things. But we know that he also said that many are the affliction of the righteous, but he promised to deliver us. So that way we can walk with that confidence and that boldness of knowing that I don't know how he's going to do it, but some way, somehow, God is going to bring me out of this, and I'm not going to succumb to this situation or let it beat me down in a state of depression or why me, or just be fearful of what might happen to me. And I like what the deacon was saying. I can agree with him about sometimes it's hard to love people. And we do know that God called us to walk in love, but as you say, it's a daily thing. We're growing, like we're growing in grace. Our love walk, we're growing in that. I mean, because we're constantly encountering difficult people. And I'm just going to share this, just like on my job, I actually had a lady that they put with me that's working with me. I'm over her, and I even had a trainer. I did nothing to that woman, but for some reason, she don't like me. But when I come in and come to the area, I speak to everybody, and I, you know, treat her the same. But she would much rather go to one of the coworkers instead of coming to me and tell me what's going on. And they still have to come to me eventually to get the answer for me to take it further. But that's what I'm dealing with. But I still have to, I still treat her. I know I've done nothing to her, and so I still treat her with that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say at times I even feel within myself, I feel my flesh rising up because it's a lot when you're dealing with difficult people. But then you got to remember that, okay, God, you know, you got me in an atmosphere for growth. And if you're trying to help me come a little higher in my love walk, then I got to do that hard thing. And I got to submit to what you're doing. That does not mean that I'm going to be her doormat. And it does not mean that I'm going to go out of my way to try to be her friend. Because if you don't want to deal with me, I'm going to respect that. and I'm going to leave you alone until, you know, your heart change and God, you know, bring us. But I'm going to respect that. I'm going to treat you with respect, but I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to keep on moving. Mm-hmm. Just like a child. If you don't want to play with me, I'm going to go play with somebody else.
Amen. Thank you so very much for your insight. Thank you. Absolutely. It is something that we all encounter difficult people. It is very difficult.
Yeah.
Can deal with these people. Like you say, it is an opportunity of growth. And I like the way you put that. That's how you look at it, as an opportunity for growth. And I think that's a more healthy way to look at it. Thank you. Thank you so very much for that.
Yeah.
Area code 984, last four digits, 9634. 9634, are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor. I'm on the line.
Good evening. How are you, Minister?
I am well. I'm well. I, too, like Minister Lester, my phone has been going in and out, so hopefully it'll stay. Again, it was a wonderful lesson. And as the deacon said earlier, and Minister Lester said, talked about, you know, how hard it is to love certain people. But one thing I've taken on for myself, I refer back to the Bible when it tells us what love is. Love is not envy, it's not jealous, it's not puffed up, it's not count no evil. You know, we all know what the Bible tells us, and that's what helps me with those difficult people. Because I've encountered some difficult people, and that's no secret to none of y'all. I've encountered some, as well as you all. But that's what has helped me to show the love and keep the love ever present in my life. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I love them, and I try to do no evil or anything against them. So wonderful lesson. I just wish that the whole church was on the line to hear it.
Thank you. I wish they were. Thank you. Did you finish? Did you want to say something else?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. There's one other line before we go. Area code 919. Last four digits, 2534. Are you on the line? 2534.
Yes, Reverend Rogers. Good evening.
Hey, Dick, how you doing? I know that was you. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Outstanding lesson once again. But what was clearer to me that you were explaining tonight, or you explained everything, but what really stood out was verse 19 through 21 in chapter 4. And as in our Christian walk, we would like to stay in the spirit. We want to stay in the spirit, but the flesh is very strong. So we ebb and flow from physical to spiritual a lot of times, and we don't even know it. So we treat some people with long spoons because we have a fear, or we don't want to be used or hurt by them. And you know, we have to watch that and be cognizant of that, and not hurt our own selves trying to get out of somebody else's way. I do share the same story with Minister Lester. I'm on the job, did nothing but help somebody, and they just can't stand me. I'm like, what? But
wow.
Out of that person's way, and I keep it moving, and you know, I hope they have a change of heart, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the same thing, I believe the minister says about, you know, even in church, you know, we have to we have to still, you know, pray for those people and love those people. But if you know somebody is one way, you know what they expect, so you shouldn't keep getting hurt about it, because you already know what they're about and what they've been about. We can only pray for their change, and then we keep moving and being strong, and you know, and it all come together for the good of God, you know, and we can give Him the glory and say that we have overcome that situation. We are overcomers of this situation. have the victory over this and that, you know, and it's just a beautiful lesson that was explained it was explained great, and all the comments really enhanced the lesson and each of our own understanding. So thank you, and thank everybody on the line tonight.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you. So I guess when John talks about perfect love, we're not talking about something that's flawless. We're talking about that type of love that we can look like Jesus, or like God looks beyond our faults to love us. So I guess that's part of what he calls perfect love, that we look beyond and even the people who we find difficult, that we look beyond their faults, that we look beyond their shortcomings. And because we know that there is something wrong there. It may not, you know, it may not manifest itself the right way, but we must look beyond the faults of those. A lot of people ask me as pastor, how do you deal with these people in the church? How you deal with these folks? You can't pastor a church if you don't love them. That's the main requisite of pastoring a church. If you don't love them, you can't pastor them. Because you have to look beyond their faults. You have to look beyond the shortcomings that they have. You have to look beyond their gossip. You have to look beyond the things that they say about you even. You have to look beyond all of that in order to be able to move forward. I think that's what John means when he talks about nothing is perfect on this side of glory. We're certainly not. Speak for you, but I'm certainly not. But I think that what he's saying about perfect love is that we got to look beyond what we see with our ears, because it's so easy to judge people by what we see and what we hear and the way they treat us. You know, doormat, as a minister said, if you're treated like a doormat, then you only respond, you know, to protect yourself. So all of that has to be taken into consideration when we talk about loving one another. It is a very heavy topic and a very heavy subject, and I hope that we can continue to talk about this as we go along this year in our Bible study. Does anyone else have anything that they would like to add? Anyone at all?
I just another part you said was how because we love and because God loved when he has completed that work, which we know we're growing in our love walk, but we know because he has done a work in us that we don't live like cowards, because we have the complete trust in God and knowing basically, you know, that he's there for us, that his word is true. And also, I think you touched a little bit on where he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And when we keep out his commandments, how that gives, knowing that we've been obedient, that gives us the assurance and the boldness that we need to keep moving forward, because we know that we are, that we have kept his commandments. That we're doing what we're to the best of our ability. We're walking in the light as we see the light. We're being willing to even at Bible study, we're hearing as we hear these teachings and stuff, we're willing to add to our faith so we can come a little higher in our love walk.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Deacon Fuller, are you still there? Deacon Fuller, how about giving us prayer?
Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see this day, for allowing us to experience and to breathe in and listen to this lesson. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you apply love to our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, our interactions with brothers and sisters, Lord, and that we represent you well, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for health and strength, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that our houses be blessed, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that we, if there's anything within us that is not of you, that is decrepit and unfit, that you make us clean and whole again, Lord. We thank you for what you have done and what you're about to do. In Jesus' mighty, magnificent name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for being online tonight. Thank y'all. We'll see you Sunday. God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.